Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. The Maine Council on Aging has launched an anti-ageism campaign, the Power in Aging Project, to shine a bright light on ageism and the extensive ramifications of ageism. The Maine Council works to advance broad public policy issues to ensure older adults live healthy, engaged, and secure lives. So recently, we did a show on that new ageism campaign, Power in Aging Project. If you'd like to hear that show, log on to WVOMFM.com and you can find it in podcast form. And if you'd like to learn more about the Maine Council on Aging, visit mainecouncilonaging.org. There was too much information about the specifics of ageism to fit in that one show. So we are back. My guests are here to continue the discussion on ageism. Specifically today, we are talking about purpose in life and how it impacts the effects of aging. Jess Maurer is the executive director of the Maine Council on Aging. She dedicates her time to advancing statewide public policy initiatives that support the health and economic security of older Mainers, and she continually provides leadership within Maine's aging network. She's a licensed attorney and spent 17 years in the Maine Office of the Attorney General. Also back with me is Don Harden. He's a founding and current board member of the Maine Council on Aging and is manager of the Power on Aging Project. Don's been affiliated with Catholic Charities Maine for more than 41 years, most recently as Director of Aging Services. He worked on the Legislative Commission to study long-term care workforce issues and is a member of Maine's Department of Labor Committee on Older Workers. Welcome to Senior Talk, and thank you so much, both of you, for coming back. I really appreciate it. This topic has fascinated me. I've been thinking about it since the last show. It's like an onion. There are so many layers, and each one of them, it's changing my views on aging as I'm getting older. I just turned 65, and is changing my views on aging and ageism. So it's just really a profound project you're doing. But Jess, I'm going to start with you. For those who didn't hear the last show, and again, log on to WVOMFM.com, you can hear it. Will you briefly describe Maine Council on Aging's anti-ageism movement, the Power in Aging Project, just to kind of set that stage?
Sure, absolutely. We are having a lot of conversations all around Maine with different kinds of people and in different settings for different lengths of time to talk about ageism, about what it is, about how it impacts us, our economy, our communities, our workforce. And the purpose is pretty simple. We're all ageist, every one of us, and ageism has a pretty significant impact on all of those things I just mentioned, but it also reduces the likelihood that we'll support systemic change that would benefit older people. But just learning about our own internal bias actually reduces the likelihood we'll act on it. And we know this from research. And so that's it. I mean, it's so simple, right? Ageism is bad for us. If we learn about ageism, we're less likely to act on it. And we're more likely to support the kinds of initiatives that will support us all living well as we age in our homes and communities.
And people may think that they're not ageist, but they are. Everybody is. It's ingrained. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done things. And not to severe degrees, probably like firing someone because they're older or something that egregious. But it's in there thinking, oh, this person is almost 100. I can't believe that they can, you know, still walk around the block. Positivity. Go ahead, Don.
I was going to say, one of the things we do in our conversations is we actually ask people to share the prejudice about aging and older people that come to mind, older employees. It's amazing how quickly they can come up with those prejudices as an example of their internalized ageism. And then the other thing we ask is how many people have witnessed or experienced ageism? And it's always in the upper 80s, low 90 percentile of people that have seen it or experienced it up front and personal.
And it can be very subtle. Like sometimes this younger person in the store will call me dear. Call me dear. And I don't think that they mean anything by it, but it's irritating. And it happens to my mother all the time, who's almost 95. positivity has been well documented as a healing tool, and people who have optimistic viewpoints have better health. What does facing aging with a positive viewpoint do for older people?
Well, it extends our life quite considerably. People who live in age-positive environments and with age-positive views live on average 7 years longer than people who have negative views about aging. But that's not all. People who have positive views about aging also have less chronic disease, have less anxiety, and heal more quickly from a serious ailment or injury. Living with an age positive view, a positive view about aging, is really good for you. Yeah. And living the converse is true, right? Living with you get what you buy or you pay for, right? So if you think your life is going to be miserable as you age, it probably will be.
Yeah. Don, did you want to go ahead?
I was going to say, I have updated my bio since the last show we did. It now includes that I performed the honorable duty of being a care partner with my mother, who's turning 100 on May 30th, okay? So she is like a poster person for age positive attitude. She lives in a little age positive culture, and people can look at her. She looks beautiful. She's remarkable. She's sharp. She does the crossword puzzle every day. She balances her checkbook every month. And a lot of people would look at her and say, oh, she's got good genes. It's all about genetics. But she's an example of age positive attitude. And it's 7.5 years, not 7 yet. So don't forget the half year.
That's 6 months.
It should be a great guest on your show.
So. I would love that. This is an open invitation. Yeah. So there are optimistic people and just naturally pessimistic people. People call me Pollyanna, because I will find the good in every situation. It's irritating, really. Sometimes I irritate myself. But can you learn to have a positive feeling about that? Or will that just go against your grain? I mean, I have a friend who will find the worst possible scenario in every situation.
I'm not sure I can answer that big global question, but I can say that we can ask ourselves on a regular basis whether something we believe is true or not. And, you know, some of the things that we believe are not only not true, but are really damaging. And so, for instance, one of the things we talk about is senior moment, right? And if there's one thing I could do, it's to get rid of that phrase, senior moment, because it implies a couple of things. One, that we are all going to experience memory loss. And the other part, which is really damaging, is that memory loss is normal. And it is not a normal part of aging. And so using that concept of senior movement is just continually, right, reinforcing this idea that old people get daffy, and that's just normal. And neither one of those things, right, is true. And so, we use a thing that says, you know, I've been complaining about, you know, old age being the problem with my left leg hurting, but my right leg is just as old and it doesn't hurt. Right. I mean, this is the idea, right, of really questioning sort of the beliefs we have and say, is that true? Is it true that I'm going to have, you know, that the only thing that's available to me is decline when I get older? And can I look around and see 1,000 different people who are older, who are living just wonderful lives? And they're not, it's not about money. It's about their attitude. And so I do think it's something you can learn, but you have to be intentional about it.
And it's starting younger. I heard a 50-year-old say that they had a senior moment. And I thought, oh, bless your heart, you don't know anything. But it's how young, I mean, it's getting that pervasive that it's starting even younger. Yeah. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about purpose in life, because that's a very big deal. And we're going to talk a lot about that. Stay with us. There's much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk discussing ageism. And Dawn, I want to talk to you about, we've discussed positivity in life and how important that is. And optimistic people are happier and tend to live longer than pessimistic people. And to some degree, you can change that bent if you're naturally one way or the other. But let's talk about purpose in life. And what does that mean exactly when you say purpose in life? And does that go along with positivity? If you have purpose, are you just more positive?
Yeah, I mean, it really is about goals, right? And it's about a reason to get up in the morning, and it's about meaning. I mean, one of the great books was Viktor Frankl's book about search for meaning and how he got through the concentration camp because he kept creating meaning under very difficult circumstances. And I look at purpose in life, and once again, I feel in the mood to talk about my mother a fair amount today, but it's amazing to watch her come up with purpose every day and a reason to get up in the morning and meaning in her life. And it's different purpose than when she was younger. When she was younger, it was about career. It was about raising a family. It was about being a big community member. Sometimes today it's about, okay. And she says this at night before she goes to bed. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to change the sheets. You know, I'm going to wash the windows. But I also hear her talking a lot about legacy as she's turning 100. And what will I gift to my children and my grandchildren so they can embrace my legacy? So it really is about positive attitude, though, purpose. And it doesn't have to be big things.
So that raises an interesting point, because I was thinking about that. And when someone is of a more advanced age, so let's say they're 85, my mother lives in a retirement home, senior housing, not assisted living, but a lot of her friends sit pre-COVID would sit in the community room and they would just sit there all day. And would be astounded that she was headed off to do she's a foster grandparent and would head off to do her job and couldn't understand why she would do that, why she would still work at that age. And it gives her tremendous purpose. She is busy all the time. I got her a cell phone so she could text me so I'd know where she is. And she learned to text. She sends me photos and she's great. 95 this July. So what do you say to people who may think that your mother and my mother, who I think would be great friends, are just, they're not the norm and not everybody can do that. And someone who's 85 living in either alone or in a senior housing, what do they have to look forward to? They've done it all, seen it all, raised the kids, had the job. How do you find that purpose? And is it that critical?
You want me to go?
I would love for you to go.
Well, I mean, you know, the key here is that people with purpose, and this has been well documented now through research, live longer than people without purpose. And they often, again, just like positivity, will live with less disease. I think it's important to take a giant step back and say, you know, we went over the course of 100 years from a life expectancy. We've grown our life expectancy by more than 20 years. And so when we used to retire at 65, we might live to 70. And folks who are of a certain demographic who make it to 65 are really likely to make it to 100. And the question is it good for us to do nothing for 25 years? The reality is that we are at our best when we are living with purpose, whether we're young or we're older. And so as long as we have a reason to get up in the morning, it doesn't have to be. The reason to get up in the morning can be to call your grandchild, to feed your cat. Right. I mean, that's the it doesn't have to be a big reason, but lots and lots of people work productive lives long into old age. And frankly, this is the funny part. We need them to here in Maine. We have an incredible workforce shortage, and it's doing no one any good to suggest that people should retire and watch TV or do nothing. We should be asking people, what's next? What's next? What do you plan for your third act? What's going to be your, what have you always wanted to do? What do you have to contribute? As a matter of fact, I just heard a guy talk at Leading Age Maine and New Hampshire. He was saying, you know, that from we're going to change entirely the way we do living for older people, whether that's assisted living. We're going to be asking not what meds are you on, but what are your goals for moving in here? What do you have to offer other residents? What do you have to offer staff? And what, you know, how are you going to live with purpose here? Because that's really good for us. The other piece is not. Some of this is just this, with new longevity, we have to shift our views and we have to start thinking differently and understanding that living with purpose is good for us. And I conversely, because I can hear people, right? The ingrained cultural stereotype is in the back of your head, and you're saying, oh my God, who'd want to live longer if I can't do the things I love to do, this is the negative rights stuff. The reality is this, now this is international research that suggests that we are the happiest across all cultures, but including in the United States, when we're older than any other part of our time in our life. So it's the happiest time of our life. Wouldn't we want to extend it?
I think that's an excellent point. And you hear so many people say, oh, it's hell getting old. But if you embrace that, providing you're healthy or working to get healthy, then that can make all the difference. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about purpose in life and how to get that and what that means. How can someone just manufacture that? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back. And purpose of life, which is critical for all of us, even more so than I realized. Dawn, let me ask you this. So when someone is feeling that they are in their third act, they're in their 80s, and they don't feel like they can have a purpose, they're not sure how to manufacture a purpose, is that because of the rampant societal ageism that we're facing and internalized ageism, that they feel that way because they're subjecting themselves to ageism?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both internalized ageism, the ageism that you've been enculturated in your whole life. And if you have a fatalistic attitude, for example, about aging, and you feel your options are limited, you're going to be affected by that. But also, as you were suggesting earlier, I think the interpersonal ageism, who you hang around with, you know, if people are telling you 24/7 that you're limited, that you can't do things, that's certainly going to have an impact on your ability to manufacture purpose, right? So, but the good news is, I think one of the things I've learned in my career, because I worked a long time in behavioral health also, there is this inner voice. If you can just hear it, you know, people do change under the worst of circumstances. I just observed it in my stepfather recently, who went through a terrible period of both physical and cognitive decline. Part of it was related to COVID. But I see he's coming out of it. He's manufacturing purpose. And it literally is like using the walker to move from a wheelchair to a walker to go to a dining room in an assisted living facility. And it's calling my mother every day to advise her about her finances. You know, that's his purpose. Okay. But somehow he manufactured that, because a few months ago or a few weeks ago, I didn't see him doing anything but going into a nursing home and spending the rest of his life in a wheelchair. So
that's a great testimony to having purpose. But it brings me to the question, is it the same as having purpose? If you manufacture that purpose, is it the same as actually having a purpose, or is that personal? So for instance, I'm really busy, or I'm doing busy work. I'm just doing busy work to keep myself busy, as opposed to having that I'm really busy because I'm busy. Does that make sense?
How about if I go one step deeper?
Okay.
Because I feel like I wouldn't necessarily talk about manifesting purpose, because sometimes that means to people that they have to do something. And so if that doesn't connect with people, then I want to ask, what brings you joy? And to me, purpose and joy are linked. And there's lots of research out there that actually suggests that joy also extends your life. And so thinking about, so your purpose and something that brings you joy, may be the same, but you may not see it as purpose. So for instance, gardening, right, might be something that brings you joy, but you don't see that as purpose, i.e. it's not a job. It's not a, you're not doing something for somebody else. You're doing it for yourself. And yet that is purpose, right? I mean, that's purposeful to you. And that is the key. And I think that's what, so I think it's less about manufacturers. It's more about tapping into the things that bring you joy and living that way. And so whether you call it joy or purpose, a lot of people, your mom, I am certain, and Fran Seeley, who is a foster grandparent I know down in southern part of the state, I know that work brings those folks absolute joy. Helping younger people who don't have the kind of network that some kids have. It's a brilliant thing to be doing, and it is purpose and joy. And I don't know how you couldn't feel good at the end of every day doing that. So,
and getting up in the morning. So what makes you get up in the morning? So I think to your point, that's terrific. If you like to garden and you want those flowers to grow or the vegetables to grow, that is purpose. Whatever you love doing that gets you up in the morning, even if you're in a retirement community and you are just getting up to check on your friends, mm-hmm. that's purpose. Mm. We are just about out of time. Listen, Dawn, Jess, thank you so much for being here for this show. It was incredibly important. If you would like to hear this show again, and I hope you do, you can log on to WVOMFM.com and listen to it in podcast form and pick up the last show that we did, Power and Aging Project, and get a whole grasp of what that's all about. And log on to MaineCouncilOnAging.org and find out the extraordinary work that's going on for older Mainers. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you again both for coming back.